Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Our series of interviews with people who have been acclaimed to leadership positions within our listening area continues today with Krista Lowry, Mayor of the Municipality of Mississippi Mills. Krista, welcome back to Lake 88. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks for having me, Bob. I'm always happy to be here.
Now, as we've been talking with other heads of council across the area, you've been acclaimed, and congratulations. I mean, that first off, how does that feel to realize that you've been acclaimed, and obviously there's a confidence in your leadership?
Well, you can take it two ways. It could certainly be taken as a sign of confidence in what I've done and the leadership that I've shown through the pandemic and through the last 4 years. I jokingly say, you know, people are stuck with me for four more years, and maybe it's that no one else wanted the job, but I really do take it as a compliment and as a sign of confidence in me and my leadership. So it's really quite humbling.
Now, that said, there are plenty of elections going on in your municipality. We're looking at the position of deputy mayor that is going to be contested. We've got some people are familiar with running there in Almont, the councillor position. There are two up for grabs there for people who are running. And then in Ramsey, two positions up there, and there are three people running there. And then of course in Pakenham, Denny Ferguson has been acclaimed to his position there. So you and Denny will be returning, but otherwise council could look pretty different when you go and sit down around the horseshoe after October 24th. And really, when people hear that the mayor has been acclaimed, often people will not have as much interest, because they think it's a done deal. But these elections are important. So therefore, it's very important that people get out and vote, right?
It absolutely is. And my sense is the same as yours. Often there's a little less interest in the election process if the head of council is already established. And if anything, it's more important than ever to come out and vote, because you know what part of the team is, but who is the rest of the team that's going to be working for you for the next 4 years? And I think it's really important to take that time to make sure those who are running understand the issues that are important to an individual. An individual candidate can't promise the world and shouldn't be promising the world. What you want to be hearing from your candidates is, you know, that they understand your issues, maybe they have some solutions, and that they have a commitment to working with the rest of council, because it's a team. It's not any one of us that can drive anything. It takes the majority of council to accomplish any of the things that we're trying to do. So it's so important that people take the time to learn a little bit about those candidates. And this is the time for them to understand what your issues are. There's always going to be things that come up through the year, but one of the first things that most councils do, at least our council will be doing, is we do orientation, we set the budget for 2023, and then we're immediately into strategic planning. So what is the next 4 years going to look like? And if there's not an issue on the radar while we're having those discussions, it's a little bit harder than to kind of shoehorn it in later in the term. So really, really important that, that residents and families are having those conversations with their candidates and being involved if they haven't been involved over the last little while. I think with COVID and the pandemic and the stresses of working from home and having the kids at home and any number of those stresses, you know, people haven't maybe been as engaged in local politics, but in so many ways, the local scene, the local governance is what affects people the most. So really important, really, really important for a lot of reasons for people to get out and be involved in this election.
A couple things here. Your municipality has really, in my opinion, gone above and beyond when it comes to providing the gateway to information for all of your candidates. I've seen some places they just put an address up, like a physical address, to prove that they're from the area, which makes a lot of sense. Others have got a phone number. Some have an email address. Some have very little information. All you need to do is go to the Mississippi Mills website. Any resident who would like to know more, You've got email addresses, you've got phone numbers. In a lot of cases, you've also got Facebook pages. So this is really good for someone who, I guess, would be called, a casual voter, someone who just wants to go and read, you know, maybe not engage with the candidates themselves. There's plenty of ways that they can do that to find out about a number of them. And then also, you've got the opportunity here to really reach out and connect with those people. So there's really, there's no excuse. It's so easy. And I hope that was one of the mandates of your council as you moved into this election, was to make sure that people had access to information. No excuses.
It's actually a little bit delicate when it comes to the election, because of course the municipality runs the election, the clerk's office runs the election, but they can't be involved in anybody's campaign. So it's this kind of balancing act of, you know, what is it that they can provide and what is it they shouldn't. So the position that the staff have taken, and it's not on the direction of council, but the position they've taken is, as a candidate, what information do you want us to share? And so there's that opportunity. If you've got a website, if you've got a Facebook, you know, if you've got a handle on whatever social media channels, they're publishing any of that on the candidates page. And you're right, like it's easy to go find those pages, to go find the phone numbers, give them a call. And even if it's just there's an issue, if it's affordability of housing, if it's that, you know, you want to see additional recreation services, or you want to see something different with the library, or, you know, there's any number of issues that are important to people. Even if there's just the one that you want to make sure people are understanding, you want to see climate action taken, you know, any of these issues that are front of mind for a lot of folks, there's lots of ways to connect with those candidates that are in a race this election.
Anyone who does their due diligence, in my mind, has the right to complain. I mean, let's be honest. And, you know, in the Facebook world, people will often go and complain. And then there's so many people who haven't voted, who just want to complain as well. And if you've done your due diligence and you have done your research, you voted for whoever, and you don't like the way things are going, maybe promises haven't been kept or a direction isn't going, then by all means, you have the right to complain. But if you're just someone who's casual and or beyond casual, if you will, doesn't vote and just wants to complain, then I don't know. That's where I kind of get irked personally. And I'm not going to ask you to comment on your residence or anything like that. But really, voting does give you, I think, a right to have a part in the process, because you're the one who's basically starting the process by casting that ballot in the first place.
Maybe what I would say in response to that, Bob, is that, you know, from my position as head of council, having people come out and support you, that's about accountability then back. Like if you know you have 3,000 people who come out and said, yes, I believe in the things that you've said, and I want you to represent me, you know, in my ward or as my mayor or whatever, there's an accountability piece that comes in play then. And there's a confidence that the mandate that you have put out in your platform is resonating with people. If you get elected, you know, in a municipality the size of ours with 500 people, that's not a very clear mandate. It's not a clear sign of confidence that the direction is the one that resonates for the community. So that's sort of the other side of the coin as well, in that it's a very direct indication that what people are doing individually as candidates, and what they're proposing and how they're communicating with the residents and the community, it really indicates that, yes, this resonates. This is a mandate that you can step forward with confidence. And it sets up that accountability loop. You know, I've got 3,000 people that believed in what I said. I've got to be accountable for that, you know? So that's the other side of it, you know, from my perspective. And it's actually a very powerful thing. Very, very powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah. A great way to put it. Let's take a look back now at the past 4 years. Wow. What a weird 4 years for councils all over the place. You dealt with the pandemic and so on, but I'm sure you have some highlights in there. And also it should be mentioned that you also served a term as warden for Lanark County. So just take a brief look back, if you would, at some of the highlights for your municipality and perhaps the county. Mm-hmm.
You know, right at the top of my mind, the thing that I would put in both the bucket of there's lots of things to still do, but I would also put in the bucket of an area that I think we've done some really good work both here in Mississippi Mills and at the county is on housing. And it is such a totally different world than it was 4 years ago. Like, I remember knocking on doors here in Mississippi Mills, and we had 6 apartment blocks that were, on the books to be developed. And, you know, when I was knocking on doors and people were concerned about rentals, and I explained, well, these are what's coming, and this is where they would be. And, you know, that was great. Everybody was really pretty confident about that. Certainly council was confident with that. And, you know, COVID hit, everybody is coming out to live in Mississippi Mills and Lanark County to have their little piece of heaven, you know, and the effect on availability of housing, like the shortage of housing, but the effect on prices has just been insane. And, you know, where we were just 4 years ago, feeling like we were pretty confident with the planning that we had in place and with the kinds of housing types that were available to the residents here in Mississippi Mills versus what we have right now, you know, totally two different places. But having said that, it's a different world. So some of the steps that we've taken here locally, we have a partnership with CareBridge that we have put in place. We have a parcel of land that we're continuing to hold so that they don't have to pay taxes on it and whatnot. But it's available to them. They're going after some upper level of government funding to put an affordable housing apartment complex in there. There are 6 initiatives that we've taken to, you know, either lower the cost or remove the fees for development of nonprofit housing, affordability, for affordable housing, geared for income housing. And, you know, I can't think of something that is more important right now than to try to address the housing crisis. The province has given us the number of 1.5 million homes that are going to need to be built in Ontario over the next 10 years. And I think places like Mississippi Mills and other communities in Lanark County, where we're so close to Ottawa, are going to feel a lot of that push, a lot of that pressure. So totally different world than it was. And having taken some steps to address the housing crisis, even just last night at our council meeting, we directed our staff to work with county staff on kind of piggybacking onto the affordable housing grant that is proposed up at the county, and it's pending 2023 budget approvals. But we're looking for a way that we can just jump on board with what they're doing, add an additional incentive here in Mississippi Mills for the individual builder, the developer, whoever may be attracted to that grant. So the housing piece has been the biggest, no matter where we are. You said about coming through the pandemic, that was certainly, I mean, that's a challenge for everybody in so many different ways. Some of the ways that we have gained, though, is what you and I are doing right now. You know, I would have had to come up to Perth and have the interview. I'm able to do it here and continue on with my day and do be a lot more effective with my time. We're meeting like this. It has been really, I don't want to say an easy transition because I'm not the one that's behind making all this happen, but it's been a very effective is maybe the best word in having our meetings online. It was something that we were putting in place anyway. And now we have the ability for people to participate no matter where they are, whether it's a delegation, whether it's a member of council or a member of staff, and the ability for people to participate, the ability for people to sit at home, you know, in their PJs and watch our meetings, you know, that's something that it was in the plans already, but it was hustled along with the pandemic. And I would say our communication too. Certainly communication is a big priority for me, and I'm out on social media a lot, and I do interviews like this with people like yourself, Bob, and I just make myself very available to get messages out. But with the pandemic and before that, with the flooding and then this spring with the windstorm, we've really gotten sharp with how we communicate and all of the different avenues that we use to communicate with residents. Not all people can be online, so we use radio a lot. We've got different partners out in the community who are helping us get out messages, whether it's a stack of flyers on the desk at the library or at one of the businesses in the rural areas. So that's something that we've really ramped up. And due to the pandemic, you know, due to needing to communicate an awful lot of stuff this last 4 years, it's been a really incredible 4 years that way. And I think it's doing us well with the community because there's more people aware of what's happening. More information is available to more people. So right now, for example, we have our, we have a consultation period out for our community services master plan. So it's going to bridge two councils, but it's the opportunity for people to participate and tell us what they want to see with recreation, with culture, with childcare services, all those kinds of things. And we're out there in so many different ways getting information back from people. So that's a, I would say, a really big win in terms of just how we function as an organization and how the community can interact with us. And then if I think about the county, there's been so many initiatives with housing, and we've really moved forward with a lot of, I think, the responsibilities that we need to take very seriously at the county. While I was warden last year in 2021, there had been a lot of discussion about housing and maybe, you know, needing to look at our housing and homelessness plan that we had just put in place, actually. But with COVID and with all of the demands that were on the folks in our communities and additional pressures from those moving into the communities, you know, we were really thinking, you know, do we need to be doing something differently here? And I felt as the warden, as the head of council at the county, I felt like we weren't really in a place to be able to have the conversation yet. Housing is so complicated. And without having enough knowledge about the different systems, the different responsibilities and whatnot, we weren't really in a place to be able to have a discussion to move forward any of these concerns. And I was really, really quite proud of council. They went with me and we had, I think it was four additional meetings where, you know, we learned about the service managers' responsibilities in a lot more depth. We heard from nonprofit housers, housing developments and organizations in the community. We had people come in from other municipalities and other counties and let us know how they were addressing some of the problems in their own communities. And at the end, we all had enough information to know we want to do something. And everybody had the information then to be able to have a quality conversation. So we move things forward in a very meaningful way. There's so much to do. It's not by any means that we have fulfilled all of the goals that we have. But we're in there, you know, we're in there. I would say it's pretty safe to say we're one of the municipalities that are leading in the housing crisis, but it's going to take us continuing on with that work. Something else up at the county that I think we've done really well this term is taking measurable action with climate change. We have a very, very active climate action committee. There is a plan that was at committee last time, and it'll be at council right before the election. So there have been a number of initiatives that we've taken steps on already, but we have a very concrete plan that will be kicking into play for next term. And I'm really proud about that because it's we can't sit on our laurels. You know, we cannot sit and just say this is somebody else's problem. This is an everybody problem, just like the housing is an everybody problem. So I'm really quite pleased that the county has been such a leader with the climate action piece as well. And then I think the other two I would think about is both here in Mississippi Mills and then up at the county as well. We flew the pride flag for the first time. We recognized the need for discussion, the need for understanding with our Indigenous neighbors, the First Nations in our areas here. Last year, for the first day, the first National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, we had a very meaningful opportunity to hear from different members of Indigenous communities in and around Lanark County. And same thing here in Mississippi Mills, we had the opportunity to come together as a community and learn. And I think, you know, while those are not municipal responsibilities, they are things that are really important for our communities. And so I was really quite proud to be involved with both, you know, acknowledging and raising that pride flag for the first time in Lanark County and Mississippi Mills. And then to be taking some very important and meaningful steps towards just understanding truth and walk that path to reconciliation.
It really speaks to what, you know, we started this conversation with, you know, we've talked about truth and reconciliation, for example, how it is really up to the federal government and the provincial government to put a lot of the recommendations in place. And then when it comes to being at the ground level, if you will, in the municipalities, it's providing a voice, it's providing the stage where these messages can be broadcast, if you will. So yeah, there's certainly a lot in there that has happened in Mississippi Mills and Lenoir County. We want to take a very brief look ahead because we're getting a little tight on time here. But I think when it comes to the look ahead, you've already basically set the foundation. Housing will be huge. I mean, obviously, affordable housing is key to affordability, because if you're paying way too much for where you live, then you can't pay for other things like food. And then, you know, the amenities that many take for granted in their houses and their homes. So really, I think you've set the base for what you're going to be looking for. And the other part of it, too, as you move ahead in Mississippi Mills, is that you have got to consider that your council is not set yet.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I can imagine no matter who it is that's around the table here in Mississippi Mills, the growth piece, the housing crisis, that is going to be top of mind for whoever. I'd be surprised if it's not top of mind for whoever is maybe the best way I can say it. And same up at the county, you know, we know that there's going to be a few of us return, but who else is going to be around the table with us? We won't know for a number of weeks yet. Up there, we're reviewing our official plan. There's a lot of discussion about that growth piece and how are we balancing it? What are the growth numbers that we're going to be kind of grappled with? And how do we balance the rural lifestyle and urban expectations from some of the folks who are moving in from Toronto or Ottawa or elsewhere? And of course, we're very welcoming to new folks coming. We need people for workforce needs. But there's a lot to balance. So I think that'll be discussions that'll be happening both at Mississippi Mills table and Lenoir County's table. And I think, as I was saying, climate action has been such a, there's been so much leadership at the county on that piece. That'll be something I imagine we'll be taking steps with at our table here in Mississippi Mills. We haven't at this point. The deputy mayor is the chair of the committee, so he's well versed in the work that's happening, and we have a staff member too who's involved. So I imagine we're going to continue that work very much as a leader at the county, and looking forward to taking on some of those initiatives ourselves here at the local level.
Well, the beauty of talking about the future is it hasn't happened yet, and as you mentioned, we have the ability to connect much easier than we have in the past. So I look forward to our next conversation. Once council is set and you've had a few weeks to settle in, kick the tires, so to speak, we will always welcome you here, Krista. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for your insights today. And I guess I'm going to ask you for a rallying call one more time to the voters in Mississippi Mills.
Absolutely. And I don't think I could say it enough, just how important it is for people to come out and vote. One statistic that was really interesting to me, this came from AMO, if I'm not mistaken, that Canadian municipalities are responsible for 60% of the infrastructure in our systems, but get 12 cents on your tax dollar to take care of it. So if that doesn't say, make sure you're really confident with your municipal leaders. I don't know what else could.
Exactly. Very good point to end it on. Thank you so much again, Krista.
Thank you.
Mayor of Mississippi Mills, Krista Lowry, our guest today on In Focus. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bob Perreault. Have a wonderful afternoon.